Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. And with me, a special guest today, a returning guest, Igor Puskarik. Right? Incorrect. Almost. For the good people out there, why don't you pronounce it so that, you know, we get it right for the rest of the podcast?
Igor Puskarik. It's Slavic.
Puskarik.
Balkan. Type, okay. Which I know that foreigners aren't really first, so it's very understandable.
Yeah, well, I'll try to do better. Before we get started, this is the part of the podcast where I ask our guest, which is yourself, to kind of briefly introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers out there, who you are, you know, where you've been, where you're at right now, where you're heading.
Oh, wow. Well, there's really too much to say. I have been in the game dev business for like 15 years. And a lot has happened there. Really too much to say, but I'm currently in Novska City doing game dev and teaching Blender. Also, on the side, I will soon be in Amsterdam. Having a talk because me and other Sketchfab masters have made a cartoon which is completely real time, and we're going to present it there in terms of technicalities and all the challenges we came up with. This is the most updated answer I currently have for you.
Yeah, oh, well, of course we're. Yeah. Of course, of course. Naturally, you know, we're going to dive deeper as we get, you know, more in depth with conversations. I do want to kind of start it off. This is not a political show. I'm not asking for politicalness. But however, with the global things, at least on this side, on the Western side, we're starting to feel the effects in terms of what the rest of the year and what next year feels like, right? It feels like we're on the brink of like World War III. You're like, have always been near that area. How is that affecting game dev, particularly? Like, what changes, if any, have been felt to your day to day creating what you want to create? Yeah.
Currently, luckily, not as much.
Okay.
I can only talk for myself. So far, so good. We are not directly entangled in any kind of conflict, which is, I guess, lucky.
Yeah, cool.
I hope nothing will escalate. Well, we'll see about that. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. It really depends on how many sides you have in cooperation and what sides are caught in the act of the wars. There are also like economic stuff, which also haven't yet caught up with me personally, but I really have no idea of what to predict. I can only say for now, it's okay. In Croatia.
That's good. I think, as always, you know, game developers are kind of cut from the same cloth. So overall, you know, I'm sure you're on LinkedIn. It's been just game industry wise, tech wise, have been tough. You know, friends on this side, and I'm sure you have friends over there, just like are uncertain going into the holidays this year. More impacted than usual. However, you know, I kind of want to point towards someone like yourself who've always been grinding, who've always been keeping busy, who've always been, you know, through challenges of your own, have always kept your head high and developing, right? Which is, I think, the main message that everybody can benefit from, regardless of outside influences, outside issues, right? So this kind of lead into what we're about to kind of focus on today. You've been busy the last time we talked. I think what would be a cool time is kind of if you can share, if you have it up, if you need some time to pull it up, start sharing some of these projects that you have been kind of cooking up and like the successes you and your team have been coming across. I mean, we can kind of talk over it if you feel comfortable about that. Yeah.
Lately, I got a a blog featuring me as a master on SketchUp, and that I'm not sure how to pull it up here.
Yeah, you can share screen on Zoom near the bottom. It's what's it called? Share screen, yeah. If you share your screen, you can choose which screen you want to share it from, and you can show the good people out there that are viewing it.
This is the blog. As you see, it's really difficult for me to kind of sum up simple one-time sentence, because there's really a lot to say, and I don't know what the priorities are. But this kind of describes my work over the years, and like best of the best stuff.
Yeah.
And I can say that being a SketchFab master is really cool, and the SketchFab team is like fantastically humane, just awesome. I can't say nothing less. It's just beautiful. The other masters really chimed in with the Spark project. So where would you like to go first?
We go from beginning. All right. So, yeah, I mean, how did this start? Like this project, Meet the Masters, well, you know, for those who aren't familiar, what is this, you know, SketchFab? I think most people knowledge about SketchFab is it, you know, Epic, recently, well, 3 years now, I think, along with ArtStation, they kind of bought it into their fold, but like SketchFab was kind of like this leading website that was allowed to, as a viewer for 3D models, essentially, right? For real-time 3D models to be able to spin around. And community-wise, they've always done a great job featuring great artists utilizing their tool, right? So right now, for the listeners out there, we're looking at its blog that Igor got featured on with his team. About their latest projects. So if you want to kind of talk about how did this happen? Did you guys get in contact with the SketchFab? The SketchFab reach out to you guys after you're working on this project? How long did this project take? What was the inception of it? Yeah.
The Masters project is purely SketchFab's initiative to get closer to the community, picking from the community. So I'm not sure exactly what would be their criteria. But they have chosen all the masters, people who were very engaged with the modeling itself and with the community in terms of social, like acceptance and benefit in a way. So, but we don't see that before we get to a meetup. And then when we get to a meetup, then we meet and talk and sometimes plan what can we do to bring greater benefit to the platform.
Was this, what project specifically got you guys in touch with Sketchfab? I mean, you can start scrolling down, we can see it, but we can talk about, you know, exactly that project that like was starting the conversations. Yeah.
Question. Okay. Basically, we were all just posting stuff we do. And where Sketchfab caught the interest, they reached out to us one by one.
I see.
It didn't happen like at once. It was like a slow burn kind of action, the way I think.
Right,
right.
It happened. And it's nothing that's rushed in a way. They just kind of smell people who they believe would benefit in terms of, from who as Sketchfab would benefit in this way. So there are many roles that masters can take. Some of them are just like solving spam. Some of them are like proposing staff picks. Some of them are sending postcards to more pronounced other members. There's really a lot of stuff you can do. For me personally, I spend like 2 hours a day roughly, just picking up noteworthy deviations in posts from new members, from old members, and choosing what would I suggest to be picked, stuff picked. If anything else comes up, I do that too. It's really cool. It's like a mini art. In a way.
Yeah, well, when did you guys, so with Sketchfab reaching out to you guys because of your rich history of work, was there a collaboration among you and the others here, or is this purely dedicated to your work right here, this blog? It's just about you. how did the traffic, did this engagement help with ArtStation traffic? And, you know, was this the uptick of people reaching out to you? What benefits have you been seeing with this type of collaboration with Sketchfab? For those who are unfamiliar or always shy about showing off their work, yeah.
It did cause a couple of outreaches from few studios, not much, because this is quite recent. It didn't really get time to live. There was no cooperation in terms of this, but I must say every Sketchfab master has had or will have their meeting masters log. It's something they will have for sure. The cooperation, though, happened on the project Spark. I will now stop sharing and reshare the Spark project.
Sketchfab have always been like a peak tool itself, the website itself, the polish have always been impressive to me. I haven't gotten around to toy with it, right? But to me, it always feels like, why isn't everyone using this to show off their work. You know what I mean? As a 3D artist, it just seems like, yeah, images are so outdated. It just makes total sense to import everything. It just seems actually probably less intensive to do that, to have like a permanent 3D model to be able to spin around in real time. You know, it just makes total sense to keep doing that, right?
I feel like the potential of that is not really recognized. As weird as that sounds. Potential is awesome.
How do I share? You just got to reshare at the bottom. But while you pull that up, I do want to ask, like, you've always been so disciplined and dedicating just after work or before work, 2 hours a day, regardless. Has that been like the same time every day? Like, what keeps you sticking to that?
It's like a exploratory passion project in a way. I don't consider it as a chore because it's fun exploring what people make. And you get surprised like daily because I also follow a lot of interesting creators. And it's a real pleasure when someone makes like something really spectacular and well that you haven't seen for a long time and you just want to comment that and suggest it for static and stuff like that. It's like art that feeds me in a way.
Yeah.
A lot like that, yeah.
You definitely have that passion that keeps you going. There was a recent Japanese term that I've learned. It's called ikigai. Oh man, people are going to butcher it. I'm not Japanese, so I'm not saying it right. Ikigai, right? It's like passion that keeps you going. It's like once that fire is gone, you see this a lot with older Japanese men, right? They kind of, when they retire, they don't have that will to live, you know, that fire burning. And you see like once the ikigai is gone, you know, and this doesn't just happen with older people. Obviously, you know, they're, our game developers our age that even though they're working in an industry, it becomes a 9-to-5 very fast because they're just looking to get a paycheck. And their original reason to get into this industry kind of takes deprioritized, and you see them just losing their edge. Their skill set is not to date, you know. They just do just enough, you know. Yeah. That passion, yeah.
When there's no exploration anymore, then it just becomes a chore.
Yes. There you go. I think
yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's something I never want to experience. Because ideas are what propels in my case. Without ideas, it just work. And work is boring and it doesn't really nothing other than itself.
I want to ask you this before we get into you sharing this project, Spark and BB. How do you keep distractions getting in the way? Obviously, you're a young guy, right? I'm assuming you're dating, right? Or you have a significant other and all this other stuff, hanging out with friends. How do you keep that, you know, separated?
Not really separated. I'm actually 43, not married, have a girlfriend. And it's tough sometimes. Time is really expensive thing.
Yeah.
In all that. For example, my kind of sacrifice is that I don't play games anymore as much as I want. Because games made me want to do this. Basically, yeah. I'm an artist and an inventor. I'm a conceptual, like I'm a conceptual dreamer. Probably the best like description. And games had a lot to do, and movies, to do with developing those stuff inside it. However, when you start doing this and you start inventing stuff, then it feeds you in a way. So I don't feel the lack as much as I thought I would. But I do want to play some mega games someday too, because I miss them. I miss the games. I miss the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it's awesome. I got a great team, great friends, so it's not a chore. My girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. You just deprioritize some things. Your time is the same. And so, you know, you just kind of prioritize certain things at this moment, right? But I hear you too, man. I think this past year was definitely, you know, at the beginning, I got like a, you know, the Steam Deck, right? The handheld Steam machine, which has been helping me, you know, carry PC game, because I'm primarily a PC gamer. A lot of my, you know, I've been able to play more games with it. But I'm like you, dude. Like, gaming is not as much as an everyday thing as it used to be, right? There is definitely a desire to connect, to make sure. But it is one of those things that, you know, you just got to make time, honestly. And you can squeeze everything in. You just got to make time, yeah.
I do play Oculus Quest sometimes because I can squeeze in like an hour in a day, sometimes once a week. So there is that.
I do want to ask you this, because I feel like you're always exploring new techniques and interesting ways to make content. Not sure if you mentioned this last time, but VR modeling, right? Just sounds. I tried it a few times. I wonder, have you had the opportunity to kind of try it out, you know, with Substance, especially having like a, okay.
But I'm all kind of waiting for the time with being a tech demo. For now, I don't have the time, but I am looking at it.
It is of interest, right? It is interesting. You see? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
100%, yeah. Especially now that I'm kind of teaching 3D modeling also.
Yeah.
We kind of have these multiple scopes in mind, so to speak, so that when they become mature, so that we can incorporate them in an interesting and useful way.
Perfect. All right, let's go ahead and dig into this project, man. When I reached out and you were showing me this, this has been, it looks like a Pixar animated movie, man. And the way you guys did it with Sketchfab. Yeah, well, with Sketchfab, I mean, that's, for those that are not watching and just listening, I highly suggest to click on the link and follow along with the video, because it is a waste not to see this work. This kind of reminds me, speaking of VR, you know, in the early VR days, they kind of started to basically make Pixar for VR, right? Putting on the goggles and watch a Pixar movie by being in it. Sketchfab and the way you guys do on it, it kind of is like a new way to watch a short film. It, you know, it reminds me of that. It's like, hey, here's another way to enjoy it, you know. Do you mind kind of talking? Yeah, exactly. Do you mind kind of talking about this approach, this idea of like a diorama of watching essentially a short film?
Exactly. Yeah, we wanted to bypass the limitations and turn them into like benefits in an interesting way while playing and trying to make something cool. It took us a year to create this animation. So the team, me and Conor Justin, will be the ones who will be speaking at this year's BlenderCon in a few weeks. But we will be like talking more in detail about how we did it, how we developed it. But all masters on Sketchfab have chimed in a little piece of themselves to kind of add. And this started like a fun mini project, and now it's the largest project of this nature on the planet. I think no one's done anything bigger in this way in real time. The fun part for me was making limitations work for us in a way, kind of, and where we had to sacrifice, we just had to make it into a kind of advantage, so to speak. So here on this blog, you can read the blog like any time, and here we name all the masters. And here you can see a bit like a preview of what we did. For example, here's the sketch. Konrad did the sketch. I did the entire the animation.
Badass sketch. Feels like you guys need to make a side scroller, is what I'm seeing.
Could be.
Yeah. It's cool style. Yeah.
This scene is currently uploaded on Konrad's account, but we have a meta plan to kind of have every month upload their version or a new like scene on their own. But we'll see about it. We don't want to rush anything. We've been hyper busy over the last few months to just get it done at all. So we had a little secret. We built 70-80% of everything and we uploaded it. And then we did a week later a quiet silent update to kind of actually finish it all. But those were just minor animation things.
The art style, like I mentioned before, is very unique. What was the inspiration in terms of movies, games, whatever, that kind of got you guys settled with this look? Okay.
You would probably go better with inviting Konrad to the podcast, because he's the one who imagined a bunch of things. He did the majority of the imagination in the project.
I love how you guys planned it to be basically, well, like a game, you know, having your foreground, midground, and background being low to high poly. It's like I've never seen people plan it out that way, which is very smart. Very
yeah, we had to do a lot of logical bypassing and optimizing. It's as technical as it was fun to create. See, these are the texture map setups.
Hold on here. You have your whole background on one texture sheet? What is this? Oh my god. You guys are very am I seeing that right? You guys have basically like material hideout, it's one texture sheet. The surface cliff was one texture sheet. Man, this is basically game ready.
Exactly. Very, very old. Yeah. Specifically, because if it were a game, it wouldn't have to be that optimized, because you could run on a machine, right? Like natively. And since this is a browser-based 3D viewer, that forced us to go wild with the optimization, because it should run on any PC that has three. So this was very fun for both me and Conrad.
Blender was your main 3D tool? Okay, for everything.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Beautiful. I'm assuming it was collaborative, but who was the main art director person? Was it you or someone else that was kind of like just making sure all, because the colors, the composition is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, man. The lighting is great too. Definitely.
All aspects of that. It's crazy. Yeah. See, all this was good. Sketch model and coloring and theme was adjusted.
I'm sure there was a collaboration, but like since your guys' sketches are so close to basically the final, was there any like back and forth revisions 2, 3, 4, 5 before you guys settled final, but was it really straightforward as soon as we determined the sketches, we basically built it and didn't waste any time?
No, we did have the sketches. We did build stuff immediately, but we also reviewed, repaired, replaced, refurbished. We also sometimes animated. And then reanimated them later because some part was like taken out, and then we needed to reanimate around it and stuff like that. It's like legitimate game dev. And we all kind of did this after work, so it's not. We also had a scarce time involved in it. So then we wondered, should we do physics? Should we not do physics? Then we do it, check, recheck, replace. It was very back and forth, the iterative process, actually. So we learned a ton of stuff doing that.
When you guys originally set out to make this, how long were you planning and how long did you guys end up taking? Making it?
I think we didn't plan anything exactly, but I think, at least for me, it took way longer than I would originally anticipate. Because it's so fun that I did not expect for it to take this long, but it took a year. And we didn't work every day, of course. But whenever someone had time, then we did our part.
We said it was a total of 1 year, right? Was it the full team at the beginning to the end, or was it you guys started adding people as you guys were finishing?
It was sort of a full team because we created a channel for that project, and then people just randomly chimed in. Whatever they felt would be best from them. because some artists, for example, just do 3D scanning, and our project here did not support that art style. So they did something else, minor. Basically, everyone pitched in something. If not a model, then they pitched in an idea, or they pitched in advice, technically. Some artists are more technical, and they have knowledge that we perhaps do not. And they have encountered our problems, and they helped us solve some details. It was really cool, actually, to be a part of this. It's awesome.
Did you guys meet regularly every week? Or, okay. So, like, in a Zoom meeting? Okay. Like a virtual call like this? You guys were just talking to each other? Yep. Okay. But most of the time, you guys are in a channel.
A constant, like, reports of bad stuff, constant suggestions of deviant, of stuff picks, and constant suggestions of ideas, just very fluid, constantly. It's very, very good.
I do want to emphasize this part too, because this is important. Like, what we've seen the last 2 years are everybody was forced remote, right? Something that you've been doing for a long time before it was cool. So you're very used to it. What's impressive that you guys are like a 5+ team, you know, kind of met each other and decided to do something pretty ambitious, you know, part-time. And ended up with something incredible that got featured and getting a lot of notice and notoriety. That I don't want to gloss over this because I want to dig into you guys' process, because that alone, going and meeting with people and accomplishing things and, you know, not wasting time, is what most teams are struggling still right now. And it's their main 9-to-5. It's their main job to sit there and produce. And you've seen how many studios are closing, how many projects are not finishing, how many delays have been happening the last few years, how many startups, you know, with similar size teams or more have closed their doors after just 1 year, like basically of not working out. And we've seen this the last few months as part of this kind of bloodbath that's happening right now in the industry. What do you think was the main difference between you guys and everybody else?
The main, one of the main sparks in all of this, because we are all highly motivated. We really, really love to do this stuff. Like more than work, almost. So this is why you kind of do it without stopping, in a way, I guess. I think that's the reason. Plus, especially when you don't know how it's going to turn out, and you don't know if you will stop or not. But we just know that we won't stop.
But like, you guys weren't all, like, none of you guys were friends, right? Before all this, really. Yeah. That's even crazier. It's like
yeah. me and Conrad are going to meet each other in Amsterdam in 2 weeks, first time ever. And we were working on this, and we knew each other for a long time.
Yeah.
On Sketchfab.
But that's what I mean. That's even more, it's literally just like, let's do something. I don't know you, you don't know me. There's like 5+ of you guys scattered around the globe. A lot more than that. Yeah. That's an indie team, basically, right? Something that, you know, veterans in the industry, you know, with 20+ years aren't able to do still. I mean, it seems like what you're saying is that he met, by chance or by design, very highly motivated, like-minded people. And I think what I'm hearing too is that you guys all did this before, right? Remotely, freelancing, always hustling, like hustlers, like always doing side things passionately. And that's what worked, is that you guys was like, oh yeah, you know, we've done this before. No one's new to this. Everyone managed their own time. Everybody was responsible, because I'm sure, you know, like when you start getting into a group online, especially, things come up. It's like, hey, sorry guys, didn't do anything this week. You know, my kid, you know, this and that, my wife, this and that, excuses. And then it becomes 2 weeks and then 3 weeks. And eventually the team starts falling apart because, you know, the motivation and inspiration isn't there. You know, no one's as dedicated. And so there's, yeah. And it's always like, at best, what I've seen is that someone kind of carries the weight for 2 weeks, right? Motivates the rest of the group. And then someone else, you know, does that another 2 weeks, and then it keeps the project going. But it's like barely surviving, right? In that way. And it takes obviously longer. But you guys, to go accomplish something like this in your spare time, what I'm hearing too from you is like there was constant work and updates. But the way you guys laid it out, even just the presentation of it, requires so much time and attention that I don't see any accident to how this was done. Like this guy, you know, you guys had the best people doing what they needed to do to get this done. That is incredible, man. That is very rare. Yeah, it's very rare. Like the way you guys are planning this is better than most game development teams that I've seen. You know, I work in code development. So what we do is like servicing others to finish their games, right? And when we, like the type of things that they give us to kind of finish off is nowhere near as clean as this. You know, it's like, hey, this is the plan. This is how we're going to do it. All right, do it, right? It's never, it's never that. Man, I wish it was like that, but it's, you know, that, you know, but what you're showing me is something that clearly your team has that. You know, you guys knew exactly what you wanted to make. Yeah.
To feel in real time when something is off, when some intention goes bad without plan, we just correct it immediately. Because
sketches are awesome.
Yeah. Like we wanna, yeah. When we want it to feel playful, interesting, like a pioneer of same tech done in a different way. We just love it. It sparks. Like, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. It sparks the passion thingies in us. So we're just self-driven in that way, I think.
So what lessons, I'm sure there were challenges, right? What can you share throughout this process that you feel like, if we were to do it again, I know we can do this better. Like, what challenges did you guys face? And if you're comfortable to sharing a specific example during the making of this.
Well, there was nothing like major problem, because each one of us kind of chimed in when they get time in real life. The biggest problem, if any, was getting us updating regularly so that we all have stuff done when we agree. Because we're a team with sometimes different time zones. And someone's noon, someone's midnight, for example. And probably that's the biggest issue, I think. Otherwise, the way Sketchfab kind of chose us to be masters is, I think it's very human. I have no idea what their criteria is, but it's obviously a good one. It would be nice if we could get someone from Sketchfed to kind of get on that one, because I have no idea. I just know it works wonders, obviously.
Yeah. So what are you guys doing next, man? I mean,
this one. Currently, I'm busy planning the talk we're gonna have on BlenderCon. Now, I'm not sure it's the 27th or 28th. In 2 weeks, roughly. So I'm busy practicing that after work and after some other stuff. I have no idea where my head is because I'm just way too busy for that, for everything else. Currently, that's my main focus, to make this thing work well. And then we'll see when we kind of get some rest for a change. I plan to make my own scene with the same actors in my own profile. And I'm not sure if it's going to be like a side episode or a complete episode 2. I'm not sure. It's really, really too early to say for this. We still have a lot of work for this one. Even though it's done.
Well, I see tremendous... I see tremendous runway for this. I mean, what you guys have shown and... Yeah, I mean it's a unique look. Looks better, or at least as good as any side scroller game out there. Like, this is, to me, it's like the beginning of a Kickstarter or something, man. It's like you guys got to do something with this. Yeah, you guys actually showed good work. Yeah.
The same spark in enough people, perhaps something like this does happen. I have no idea. Would be cool though, because we've proven this as a tech demo. And see where it takes us. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the tech demo. It's a finished vertical slice.
Yeah. It's finished working. Perfect. Everyone can enjoy in this current state. And we will go wider. We will go in more depth details on BlenderCon. So we will literally disclose everything there. So other people can also do their own projects. What we did is, hopefully, who knows, we'll see.
What are your personal, I'm sure you have high goals. You know, I know that you're doing all this, you're building, you know, your work, you're building your technique, you're building, you know, your own personal art style. What is your kind of like, you know, what is your vision? You know, is it, at some point, someone kind of coming to you with a bag of money is like, I want to give you a chance. What would that be? Like, what would you want to do with that? If that is like, hey, 3-5 years of what do you want to do with that? It's like, if money was not a problem. Yeah.
I would probably not stop inventing things because I would do that even if it wasn't a job. But I would definitely, well, first of all, I would take a whole year and play all the games I missed. This is one thing
to catch up.
I would definitely 100% surely do.
Yeah.
And then some life stuff, maybe buy a house or something and stuff like that. But mainly I would rest because I haven't rested for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because I constantly want to do stuff, achieve stuff, create stuff.
Yeah, I feel that too. Yeah, it's like as a creative. Yeah, you create from experiences. And I felt like for a while I kind of been pausing on experiences, either through games or travel or just spending away time, you know, to kind of refuel. Yeah, I feel exactly the way you are right now with that. Yeah, it feels like I need to refuel.
Inspire. If you have some imagination, like you go for a coffee with a few friends and you get like 100 ideas. Just so little time. And so many ideas. That's kind of the main stuff.
What kind of games that you've been kind of, it's on your wish list or you kind of have it in a wrapper or it's in your Steam that you haven't been able to touch, but you've been hearing the last couple of years or 3 years, however long you haven't been playing, what's the main game that you've been like, oh man, you know, as soon as I have some time, I would love to kind of go through that one.
I have a huge list, but I feel like I missed some Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I think it's right up my alley in terms of the design. I'm happy I didn't take it right away because it was buggy. I now have no idea what it's like, but I would like to have like 3 months.
That's on my list too, dude. They just patched it, so they fixed all the problems that it had, and now it's like the perfect version of itself. Yeah, I was like, all right, man, maybe it's time to go back, but it's beautiful. Yeah, it looks super good. Yeah, that is definitely on my list. Like dude, I'm so back. Like I haven't played. I played maybe the first level of Last of Us 1, right? But like I haven't finished that, and let alone Last of Us 2. Like that series, I haven't. And I have been avoiding watching the show because of it too. And that's, you know, everyone's saying it's really good too. It's like, damn. Yeah, it's just.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
exactly. Especially for that long. Also, the PlayStation one with Robo Dinosaurs. What's his name? I forgot.
Which game?
PlayStation 5 exclusive with robotic dinosaurs.
Forbidden. It's not the dinosaur one. Like. Horizon Zero Dawn, no. Is it the Horizon Zero Dawn, the one with the robotic dinosaurs? Seems like you're up your alley.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly up
my
alley.
Yeah.
This was the first one. I felt legitimately sorry. I don't have time to play it. Or I don't even have a PlayStation 5 to play it. So.
Yeah. Same here. I don't have a PlayStation 5. That's... but it's on PC now. Horizon Zero Dawn's on Steam. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my top tier wish list. That one. And the God of War, of course.
The God of War, yeah, me too, dude. It's all on my wish list. It's all there. Just haven't touched it. Yeah.
Those are my wishes. I haven't yet fulfilled, but hopefully I will. Hopefully, the world will keep some peace for that.
Yeah, I mean, we might have to be stuck in our homes for a little while again.
We'll see. Hopefully not, but we'll see.
Yeah. But I think I share the same sentiment. Like, my creativity, my passion have been running off of my gaming library in my teenager years. Like, I played a lot of games during the teenage years and it left a really strong impression. And then when I got in my 20s and 30s, I was still riding off of that high, but I haven't added to that library since. And I'm in like this time frame where I'm like, hey man, I need to start catching up, refuel with all these games to really repack, because every time I have a chance to sit down and play through some of this, I get instantly inspired. All these ideas start coming in again. And I was like, oh man, dude, we can't do this without that. You know, it's just, That's it feeds into itself. Yeah. Yeah.
It's what made you.
Yeah.
Like I love it. I still love it. I don't think you can ever get too old for that. At least so far.
Yeah. And it's becoming way more acceptable now. Like everyone plays games now, and yeah, it's not a nerd thing. It's cool to play games, and it's being respected. And
we have a half of women in our among our students, which would be a few decades ago exclusively men. Right now, it's all like it's all. Gender has no domination over gaming anymore, mm-hmm. which is awesome. It used to be just boys.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're hitting the hour mark, and I want to kind of use this time to kind of hand over the mic to you if you want to stop sharing your screen. This is a good opportunity for me to shut up, but also for you to kind of talk to the people directly about where do people want to connect with you, and you know, sharing any messages that you want to share about anything, really.
Well, I'm not quite a talkative guy. Where I talk is through art and through achieving cool designs where I play. The best way to get in touch with me is through Sketchfab, ArtStation, maybe DeviantArt. And if you want, if you feel like it, you can buy my models, which I have for sale on various sites, if it benefits your project, of course. Other than that, I have no idea what to say.
Oh man, I think you said enough. For those who are, you know, you're really doing yourself a disservice by just listening to the podcast. Obviously, I'm thankful as well as Igor, but click on the links, watch the video, check out the blogs at the very least, check out the scenes. You know, the way he and his team laid this out, it is more concrete, more fact-based than any vertical slice in any game that I ever seen. You guys did it perfectly, and it's so impressive that you guys were able to do this essentially with 10 strangers within a year. That is a huge accomplishment, and I hope you guys the very best. And I see continued success, man. You guys, you do what you can to keep your unit together, man. That's a rare thing that you guys got going right there. I really mean it. Yeah.
Very, very rare. Yeah. We're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to watch out for what you guys do next. I for sure see continued big success, and obviously, hell yeah, dude. You guys need to do yourselves a favor and get motivated, inspired, and follow them on and Sketchfab and see what their next adventure is looking like.
Same way we received, so that's awesome.
Sure. More than ever now.
Exactly.
We need to
get
the network strong. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
For inviting.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we can meet up in a few years later. Would be awesome,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, at some point we'll meet up for sure.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
All right.
Yeah. Bye.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Hello, everybody. Brandon here. I want to talk to you today about something very special. We've been on this wild ride together, haven't we? From my early days as a senior employee, feeling a bit lost, all the way to leading multiple studios, transitioning to smaller indie teams and to the mobile industry, and now running my own game studio for the last 6 years. Throughout this time, you've been here listening and learning along with me, sharing this never-ending journey of discovery. This year, I'm kind of on this quest of meeting serial studio founders, discussing acquisitions, or exploring what it takes to grow a studio to over 100 developers. I've always tried to find an exciting topic to delve into. And every year is a little different. The focus is a little different because that's where I am in my career currently. And I want to be able to share what I'm learning with you guys. So I've always been dedicated to asking the tough questions, bringing you insightful answers from industry leaders and experts. And now I want to share with you how I'm applying these answers to my own journey. This is why I'm excited to announce that for just $1.99 per month, you can now subscribe to our exclusive content series. These bonus episodes will give you a deeper look into my personal experiences and how I'm putting into practice what our esteemed guests are preaching. It's more of a personal side of the journey that I hope will show you that we're all in this together and we're all continuously learning. Whether you're a game developer, studio founder, or just a passionate gamer, there's something in it for everyone. By subscribing, not only will you gain access to this exclusive content, but you also be supporting the ongoing production of the regular programming. It helps keeps the lights on and ensures that I can continue bringing you top quality content and insight into the world of game development. The links to subscribe are in the description. Your support means the world to me and helps me keep doing what I love, sharing this journey with you. So show some love, hit that subscribe button, and let's continue this adventure together. Thank you all for your continued support. And as always, stay tuned for more exciting content. Until next time, this is Brandon signing off.